just a few days before. Just a few days before, Simon, who is better known by a different name, Peter, Simon Peter, had been going about his life in perfect contentment just a few days before. He was living his life in a fishing village called Capernaum, on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was a good life. But then Jesus came walking into Simon's town and showed him another way of life was possible. Jesus came walking into Simon's life, and now he wanted more. Simon wanted so much to know what journeying with Jesus would mean for his life, what Jesus' life would mean for the world. But above all, Simon wanted to know, who is this man? Who is this unbelievable man? Now, word had already started to go around that Jesus was able to do some pretty remarkable things. And Simon had seen some of these things with his own eyes, miracles that he could not explain. So, Simon brought Jesus to his own home. He brought Jesus to his house to stay the night. Simon wanted to have this mysterious and marvelous man walk through his doorposts, sit and eat at his table, sleep in his bed. But as it does in any community, word that Jesus was in town and at Simon's house spread quickly. And soon, neighbors were coming, bringing their sick relatives to Simon's house. And sick person after sick person after sick person, they were put before Jesus, tied up in suffering. And Jesus loosed them. And they left completely cured. Who was this man who held the power of life and death in his hands? The city buzzed with word of him, so that soon the entirety of the town were surrounding Simon's house, pressing in to see what was going on, because it was not just garden variety coughs and sniffles that Jesus was putting to rights. Even those who had been deemed incurable, the so-called demoniacs, those who seemed to be infested by some demonic force, possessed by some other malevolent spirit, they too were brought before Jesus to see whether perhaps he, when no one else could, perhaps he might be able to restore someone to themselves. And those poor devils, as soon as they caught one glimpse of Jesus, their eyes flashed with recognition. They knew who this was. They had seen this man before, though it was long ago and in a distant place and in a great light. They knew who this was. Why could no one else recognize this man? They were trying to shout out. They were bursting at the seams, trying to shout out. They knew who this man was. Why could no one else see it? But by some unbreakable and invisible bond, Jesus would not let them speak, though they knew him. Jesus would not let them speak until they were sent howling back to wherever it is that demons dwell, and the one who had been delivered stood blinking and astonished, staring at a man who, for the life of them, they had never seen before. A stranger. Who was this man that the demons should know who he is and that they should obey him? It had been an unbelievable night at Simon's house. Something he would remember for the rest of his life. But every day ends. Night's dark turned to sleep's dark. And sleep's dark turned to morning's light. And when Simon awoke and he looked through his house, Jesus was gone. He was just gone. His bed was empty. His meager belongings nowhere to be found. He was nowhere in the house, nowhere in the empty village streets, just beginning to wake up in sun's first light. He must have slipped out of bed while Simon was sleeping, that or disappeared into thin air. He had disappeared without a trace, without any indication of where he had gone or whether he would ever return. He was just gone. Just gone. And Simon could not go back to the life that he had once been contented with. He could not, because with Jesus, it seemed to Simon that something grand and holy and tender was beginning. A life was dawning, more blessed than he had ever thought possible. Jesus was gone, and with him gone, Simon had no way to answer the question that was burning in his mind like a live coal. Who is this man? That he should walk into Simon's life and bless him and then simply disappear? So Simon went searching for Jesus. More than searching, the word that the Gospel of Mark uses is that Simon hunted for Jesus. Through every street and alley, in every secret corner of the town, Simon hunted. Down along the shores, where just a few days before dawn would have found Simon mending his nets, he hunted. Out further away from the water, out into the wilderness, into the dry places of the desert, the places a fisherman would have never gone, Simon hunted until at last. In some deserted spot, some nameless, empty, and forgotten place, far away from any of the wandering streets, Simon found Jesus. Jesus was there alone, out in the middle of nowhere, alone and praying. That's all. Quietly praying all alone. But why? Why go so far away? Could he not have prayed in Simon's house? Or if not in Simon's house, somewhere near at hand? Or if he did need to go somewhere far away, why not tell people he was leaving? In fact, far from telling anyone where he was going, Jesus had slipped out of the house quietly enough that no one would wake up. Far from finding a nearby spot to be alone, Jesus outwalked the furthest city street out into a desert place. Jesus went to great lengths, unusual lengths, in order to be certain that he would not be found. But why? I think it is simple, actually. Jesus was tired, and he needed to be alone. After a night spent healing every sick person in Capernaum, a night spent wrestling life out from the jaws of death, Jesus was tired, and he needed to be alone. After a night spent casting demons out of every haunted mind, of straightening chaos into order, Jesus was tired, and he needed to be alone. Just an hour of prayer, just an hour away from the voices and the needs, to simply be alone. Who is this man that he should hold the power of life and death in his hands, that he should have legions of angel armies at his beck and call, and yet, even still, to need to quietly slip away? Just to be alone. Who is this man? What Simon learned there in the desert, what he learned is that whatever else Jesus was, mighty prophet, yes, wise teacher, certainly, wonderful counselor, thank God, but Jesus was just a man. He was just a human being, very much like any other. He had every human need that the rest of us do. He needed to sleep. And he needed to eat. He would be hungry at the end of a day. His throat would be dry after a dusty walk along desert roads. He would have compassion for people who were suffering, and he would get angry when people would criticize him unfairly. He would speak with free-flowing love for his friends, but he would not always have a word of grace for his enemies. Whatever else we know of Jesus, we know that Jesus was a human being. And that is good news. You see, as Christians, it is easy to focus on and remember those things that Jesus could do that we cannot do. We love to remember the miracles that would dance off his fingers, and we must. But we also have to remember those things that we cannot do, that Jesus could not do either. We must remember those things that we cannot do, that Jesus could not do either. We cannot work all day, every day, without rest and time to be refreshed, and Jesus could not either. Jesus was not a boundless and bottomless fountain of energy and time and patience and spirit and charity. There were limits, human limits, to what even he was capable of. And those human limitations of Jesus, those things are good news as surely as are his miracles. The human limitations of Jesus are lessons. They are lessons just as surely as are the most intricate of his parables. Who is this man? He is the Son of God. But he is also the child of humanity, made of the same stuff as you or I. And that is a good thing, something we can learn from, something that if we forget, our faiths will be poorer for. You see, as followers of Jesus, we are not called to be perfect or tireless. We follow after the Son of God, not Superman. We cannot pour our hearts out selflessly and tirelessly in service to others every day and never run dry. Our lives would be poorer and our service meaner were we to attempt to be more than what God has made us to be. Human beings. Nothing more. Nothing less. You see, we cannot make life what it ought to be by fitting in one more email or one more hour on the elliptical or one more SAT prep class or one more TED talk. Immaculate busyness does not a good life make. And immaculate busyness does not a Christian make either. You see, as Christians, our limitations, they are as critical to living life as it is intended, as are our strengths. We must know our strengths, but to forget our limits is not to follow in the path of the child of humanity, who also was the Son of God. You see, were I to have boundless energy, endless energy, why would I ever think? Why would I ever need to turn in all humility to another Christian and say, this is too much for me alone. We must make this our work. Were I to be able to simply add eternally on to my to-do list without ever losing sight of the whole for the clutter of the parts? If I could do that, why would I ever think? Why would I ever think to invite another to claim leadership in the church that could be theirs were they but to reach out their hand and claim it? Why would I ever think to do that? Without my limitations, I would be no kind of pastor. Without our limitations, we could be no kind of church Now, this, I think, is a peculiar Christian idea, one that comes from following the one who is God and human. The idea that limitations and failures, they might be of equal importance to who we are in God's eyes as are our gifts and graces. It is a peculiar idea that our days of dragging ourselves across the finish line may be of greater weight than when we are dancing through the days. And yet there it is. In the witness of Simon. Simon, who was to be called Peter, the rock of the church. We see in the witness of Simon that God may be making use of brokenness to bring forth the most important work. For Jesus was found out in a deserted place, having slipped away from his friends in the middle of the night to find a quiet place, just to spend an hour alone, because he was tired and he needed to be alone. Out in that deserted place, Simon saw the secret messianic plan of God, the plan to save human beings. Because in the strength of Jesus, Simon saw the possibility that Jesus was a mighty prophet, unlike any other. But in the weakness of Jesus, Simon saw the truth that Jesus was none other than the Savior of us all. Thanks be to God.